Everyone, and good morning, everyone. Thank you for coming today. And a welcome to members who are on live stream today for watching this. Just a reminder that we are recording this talk and it will be posted on FCM's YouTube channel. And today is a family program day. And participants are also invited to stay for tea. Now to the matter at hand. Well, actually, before we begin the teaching for today, are there any questions from old timers and new people about the practice that we did today? This is most essential. You know, our meditative practice, our mindfulness practice, learning how to be present to ourselves and to be aware and mindful. To learn how to calm and stabilize our own minds. Is there anybody not clear how we go about doing that? Or come across obstacles within their own mind practice that are getting in the way? Please don't be shy. This is really most essential. Just check yourself. Is everything about the practice clear? Good. I hope it's true. So, today for something a little different. For those who come regularly know, usually talk on different matters of Buddha Dharma and application to daily life. And you know, often use teachings from the Zen masters, including Thich Nhat Hanh, modern day master. But today I wanted to share with you in traditional Zen training, practitioners work on things called koans. There are these little kind of pithy interchanges. Most of them live interchanges that, I mean, live meaning they happened but a long time ago. And many of these little interchanges between teachers and students were recorded in the beginning orally, written down, and then they become things that Zen students study. Study, not mean intellectually, but study in terms of their meditative practice. Come to some understanding of what's going on. So I wanted to share one today because I recently came across it. It's from something called the Mumon Kan. That's Japanese. By the way, everyone knows that Zen is a Japanese word and that what is called Zen actually came from China, where it was called Chan. So Japanese, while they share similar characters with the Chinese, they pronounce them differently. So Zwigan, who's the teacher who we're going to look at, this little mundo, that's his Japanization. That's his Japanese name. That wasn't his name. He was then actually a great Chan master in China in the 8th century. But I took this from a translation that was from the Japanese koan tradition. It's very simple. That's why I like it. So every day, so Zwigan was a Zen master, and he had a habit of doing his meditation on a rock outside his monastery. Sit on a rock outside. And he'd be out there, and every day, the disciples, the students, other people around would hear him call out to himself. And they'd hear him say, well, first he'd say, Master, out loud. And then he would answer himself and say, Yes, sir. And then he would say, Be awake, be alert. And then he would answer himself and say, Yes, sir, yes, sir. And then he would say, Day and night, do not be deceived by others. And then he would say, "No, sir, I will not, sir." So that's the koan. And then there's little commentaries and things. But everybody get it? Yeah, so in Zen, many things are on many levels, but I think this is very meaningful on many levels. So he would call out to himself. So he's having a dialogue with himself, isn't he? Right? And everybody in this room, whether we want to admit it or not, have continuous dialogues with ourselves. Is that clear? Everybody know what I'm talking about? Just nod, right. Right, and probably, you know, somewhere between 99 and 95% of our dialogues are not along these lines, are they? Right? We are not in a relationship with ourselves where we are reminding ourselves of some essential things, right? So acknowledging this dialogue that we are all having with ourselves, this koan is very, I think, meaningful to help us look at, well, what is my inner dialogue like? And we'll talk about these, you know, this one self talking to another self, you know, is that really true? But just on the level of dialogue, communication, he calls out master, right? Very strong. The master is what? You know, or the one in control, right? The master is the one who has the power, right? So he calls out, "Master, you who have control, you who are supposedly in charge, right? You who are the captain of this boat, you are the driver of this truck." You know what I mean? Any way we want to say it, right? It's like, I'm talking to you, right? And the reply is, you know, don't bother me. Right? I'm too busy thinking about something. I'm too busy obsessing about something. I'm too busy planning something. I'm too busy ruminating about something. I'm too busy worried about something, right? Which is our usual response. He simply says, yes. I hear you. I am here. Yes. And then he says very simply, be awake. Be alert. Right? No content. No story. He's talking about a mind and how it's to be. Right? He doesn't say, I want you to be kind today. I want you to be kinder to this one. I want you to be more patient with that one. I want you to be more understanding to that one. I want you to, right? All the things that we usually say to ourselves, right? Oh, I got to let that go, or I got to, you know, I got to work on, you see? It's none of that, right? There's no story. There's no content. He doesn't get into the psychology or the emotionality of the human experience, which is where we hang out between 99 and 100% of the time. He says, be awake and be alert. And he responds, yes, yes, sir. Yes, sir. So these are very powerful instructions for us. They cut through everything. Because why? Because all our aspirations and all our, you know, desires of how we want to be in the world and how we want to be with people, you know, why don't we you know, why don't we do it? I mean, everybody in here has positive aspirations for themselves. They want to be a better person, a kinder person, more loving person, more accepting person, more patient person, right? Don't we? We all do. But why don't we, on the one hand, and why do we often find ourselves doing the opposite? Right? See, that's the question. See, we think the question is, I got to get, you know, all my goals and objectives lined up. And in Zen, something is more important than that. Not that that's not important, but there's something more important than that. Is that we'd be awake, right? And awake, awakening, wakefulness are terms that are very familiar to us, right? Because they refer to the opposite of what we know very well, which is being asleep. Right? When we are asleep, right, the condition of being asleep is we really don't know what's going on around us, do we? Is that true? You know, we just, you know, all kinds of things could be going on in our house and people are quiet. You know, all kinds of things could be going on and we don't know what's going on around us. As well as when we are asleep, what we are involved in part of the night is our dreams, right? We are involved in our dreams. And dreams are what? Dreams are just created by the mind. So we're basically lost in our dream world that is created by our mind that is taking all the, you know, all the bits of information that we have, ingested in the last 24 hours, in the last 24 years or whatever, that are stored within us, and it's kind of putting together often in a very strange way, right? In a very unique way. We all dream differently. We all dream, but we all dream differently, right? Based on our own lives, our own past, our own, and who we are, and, you know, and our predominant kind of emotional patterns, you know, we all dream differently. We're all lost in our dreams, right? As well as we do not see what's going on around us in reality. When we're in our dream, we think our dreams are real. This is reality. We don't even know that we're sleeping in a bed, right? Do we? No. We're totally unconscious to that, to that reality. So he says to himself, be awake. Wake up from the dream. Wake up from the unconscious, semi-conscious state of sleep. Wake up and be present to what is. And how do we maintain that wakefulness throughout our day, our life? He says, be alert. Be alert. Alert has criteria. What are we alert to? We're alert to when we're being wakeful, and we're alert to when we're not being wakeful. Or else, how are we ever going to, you know, get it right, so to speak? Can you see? And this is really no different than the meditative instructions that you received earlier. We come here. We sit down to meditate. Or at home, we sit down to meditate. And it's very possible to take the meditative position, but still stay asleep. You know, like, well, actually, some people have mastered the ability of sitting up and sleeping at the same time. But it doesn't mean that. It means we can take the meditation posture, but our mind can still be lost in thought, right? So that's why we have to be alert. Are we following the instructions or not? Am I placing my mind where I want it to be placed? Am I dealing with thoughts in a way that I'm just seeing them for what they are and not grasping and, you know, not holding on, right? I have to be alert. So these wonderful instructions to us. What a wonderful way to start the day. And he'd say it out loud. He didn't care whether people thought he was crazy or not. Right? Suppose he would say it quite loud. First he calls himself, taking position, master, servant. Calls the boss, master, I'm giving you a job today. Stay awake. Stay alert. And he says, yes, I will. And then he says a very interesting thing. Day and night, do not be deceived by others. And he says, no. What do you think that means? Do not be deceived by others. What is he getting at? How are we deceived by others? Why is he warning us not to be deceived by others? Right? I mean, aren't we supposed to be nice to others? Don't we live with others? Don't we work with others? Right? Family member, we have all kinds of people who are others. We have politicians, we have, you know, we have the whole world, right? Of so-called others. He says, don't be deceived. Why? And, you know, see what I'm saying? He's giving very simple directives to himself. Stay awake, stay alert, don't be deceived by others. That's it. How do we get deceived by others as we go through our day in life? Let's see, what's he warning us about? Yes?
What comes to my mind is that we fabricate all kinds of things about other people and then react to our fabrications, creating more fabrications.
Right. So, you know, one of our great deceptions is we think. Maybe I should stop there. But we take the things we see, the things we hear, which are simply what we're seeing and hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, etc., and we fabricate stories. From the simplest man, woman, you know, right up to very elaborate stories. And we deceive ourselves by believing our stories and our perception that there is another out there is true. It's true. And therefore, we endlessly fabricate more stories, more feelings, more perceptions about this world of others, that we don't realize that we're creating ourselves within our own mind. Yeah. So that's one of our big deceptions, how we're deceived. We're deceived that the movement of this world, the daily momentary movement of this world, the ups and downs, the backs and forths, you know, are the most important thing. And so we're endlessly thrown off balance. We're endlessly stumbling about in this world from crisis to crisis, from emotional state to emotional state, from mind state to mind state, from drama to drama, right? Sound familiar? Yeah. It's like somebody who believes their dreams are real. As if every day you remembered every dream you had to the most significant detail. And when you woke up in the morning and the rest of the day, all you did was obsess and think about and ruminate about the drama of last night's dream. And that kind of consumed your inner life. If we're consumed by that inner life, by that inner drama of last night's dream, how are we ever going to attend to the reality that is appearing right in front of us? Where's the energy for life and reality if we're to see by thinking our dreams, which are simply thoughts, images, right, that our mind is creating, are real? Good. Any other ways of looking at how we deceive ourselves? Yes.
Another way I think that we deceive ourselves is that we look out there and we see something that we think is solid and real and also separate from us.
Right. So there we are. And so we spend our whole life chasing after things. Right? Yeah. Because we think all these things that we see, the people, the things, since we believe they're solid, real, solid things, and we think that if we get them, if we possess them, then we will be happy. Right? We spend our whole life running toward, chasing after, wanting to get, and hold on to that. As well as we're very busy trying to push away and get rid of all the stuff, you know, that we think we shouldn't have. Right? So we're very, very busy. Again, you know, these days you ask people, you know, I mean, as opposed to 50 years ago when, you know, to talk about meditation or mindfulness, people would look at you like you're some nut, to even think that way. You know, 50 years later, you know, mindfulness and meditation, you know, not everywhere, but within the popular culture. I mean, most people, you know, have heard about it. And most people have people will say, yeah, I know I should meditate, right? Yeah, I know that would be good for me, right? I mean, right? Even people who... But they'll often say that. They've heard good things about it or mindfulness. But what do they say? Unfortunately, I'm too busy. Right? Unfortunately, I'm too busy. What am I busy at? Chasing things to get happiness. Right? I'm busy. Fundamental deception. I want happiness. I'm running after things that I think will give me happiness. It only creates unhappiness. Don't be deceived. Be awake. Be alert to the mind and how it just moves in these, you know, monkey see, monkey do direction, right? Isn't that what we are? We have a thought, we have an impulse, you know, we see something pleasurable. Right? Off and running. Right? We don't even stop to go, you know, is this really going to give me what I want? Or is this taking me away from or distracting me from that which I really want to do or I really think is meaningful or helpful to where I want to get in life? Right? We're deceived in that moment by the attractiveness of what we're perceiving in the moment. And we think it's real, solid, and will give us what we want. Right? You know, I mean, what do they say that you go onto your phone or your computer, whatever it is, to check an email, and the average person will stay on 15, 17 minutes, right? You say, I'm just going to check. Check, see if I got a text, or check if somebody responded to me. And because of the nature of it, I forget, 13, 15, I mean, there's an average, you know, because they're watching our use very carefully. They know these things. Okay? Right, there it is. And because what's going on? Why is it when we say, oh, I'm just going to check this for a minute, right? I'm just going to look this up. Why is it, you know, minutes, maybe even hours go by? Because we're just following, you know, we're just following our nose, moment to moment, react, right? And we're not what? We're not awake. We're not alert to, you know, what we're doing or why we're here. And so if we're not, then we are easily deceived. Can you see that? Don't be deceived. There's so many meanings to that. Don't be deceived, you know, between fool's gold and real gold. Don't be deceived between real jewels and costume jewelry. Don't be deceived. Any other thoughts about deception? Yes. Just wait a second. People are on. And for years, I've been faulted for not. So see, now they have somebody down here just making sure that.
Thank you, Fred.
Yeah, yeah.
So when you first read the statement and it said, don't be deceived by others, I was mm-hmm. thinking in a different way. Yes. Everything that we have talked about, it's been you were deceiving yourself. Mm-hmm. When I first heard don't be deceived by others, mm-hmm. my mind immediately went to like a politician or a religious leader mm-hmm. or somebody trying to manipulate your mind.
Yeah, yeah, good.
And so then I thought, okay, that's where the alert aspect mm-hmm. comes into play. So.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, I'm just sort of waiting to hear from people, but that's certainly part of it. We are, I mean, especially in this day and age, right, where, you know, there seems to be, if we can read the news and trust it, there's an incredible amount of deception out there, right? Propaganda, manipulation, fabrication, right? So even more, you know, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived by others, you know? Everybody has an opinion. Right? Family, friends, leaders, everybody's got an opinion. You know, don't be deceived. You know, but if you don't know who you are, if you don't know who you are, if you're not awake to what reality really is, then it's very hard not to be led around by the opinions of others, because a lot of people in this world have strong opinions, have you noticed? About everything. And we live in a time when people are not respectful of each other's opinions. Everybody's trying to get you to agree with them, see it their way. Right? And so, you know, to me, these kinds of teachings, which historically were kind of deep teachings for people who practiced, you know, deep meditation and Zen, to me, that's why I wanted to share this one today. To me, this is like today. You know, how do you go through your day as an individual, but also as part of a society that's open, you know, to information about what's going on in our society, and not be deceived by propaganda, by lies, by distortion, by, you know, manipulation, right? How do you do it? Well, unless you really know who you are, unless you have a certain degree of mindfulness and awareness and alertness within your own mind, you know, and you may notice in our world today, most people don't have that. Is that true? So therefore, we are in sort of dangerous times because it's so easy to lead people around. Right? I mean, we don't realize that we are constantly bombarded by advertisements, right? Messages that are now, you know, more and more sophisticated, coded into all kinds of, you know, social media and everything, all kinds of ways, very subtle ways. That people are trying to deceive us to what? To buy into their agenda, to want this, to need this, to go see this, to go buy this, right? Our needs are being even, right, manipulated, right? You know what I mean? You're very happy, and then you read something, and you go, gee, yeah, maybe I should get that. Yeah, you know, maybe I should watch that. Maybe I should listen. Oh, what's everybody else's? This is viral. What does that mean? That everybody else is being deceived. That something is important. So we go, right, oh, this is, right. Can anybody here with accuracy say all the things they've watched on Instagram, on YouTube, on all these things over the past year? Did you remember every one of them? And how one led to the other and to the other? No, we can't even remember. Did any of them significantly change your life? No. It's fluff. Don't be deceived. Our time on this earth is short. Death could come at any moment. Sickness, old age, you know, it's happening. You know, this life is precious. Time on this life is precious. Don't be deceived. Use it wisely. Use this precious human gift. Don't be deceived. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, we have to, you know, people sway us. There's a herd mentality in our society everywhere. Left, right, middle. Herd mentality. Everybody wants you to sign on. Have a position. I remember years ago, somebody asked me, what's your position on abortion? I said, I'm very happy to talk with you about it. But it's like, you don't have a position? You know? People say, what's your position on this? And what's, you know, like we're all like mini politicians or something, you know? And if a politician would dare to say, I really don't have a position, but I, you know, I'd be happy to talk to you about it. I'm interested in maybe what your ideas are. I can share mine, and maybe we could dialogue. With positions, there's no dialogue, is there? It's like, as soon as somebody tells me you have a position, it's like, you know, okay. I mean, they're already telling you there's no dialogue. There's no interest. I already have a position. I've already made up my mind. So there's no openness in that. There's no willingness to say, you know, well, this is the way I'm thinking about this, but, you know, I'd be interested in seeing how you do. Are you interested in seeing what I think about it? You know, maybe we could come up with something. Don't be deceived by others, especially people who have very strong opinions. Yes, well, there's somebody else, yeah.
I listening to everybody's feedback, I'm thinking that really is the meat of the koan. But what occurred to me was this remembering how, like, Eckhart Tolle woke up where he was so miserable and he said, I just can't stand it anymore. I'm going to kill myself. And then he was like, wait a minute, who's this I? And so in this dialogue of master servant, it's almost like he's having this conversation in his own mind and he's believing the speaker, who is whoever, is calling himself master. So again, it like just reifies the ego and it's just,
maybe.
There's this made up.
Well, hold
That's
on
how
a
I
second.
Heard it. That's
yeah,
how I
how
heard
you
it.
Hear it. And you know what? People were aware that you would have that question back in the 8th century. they anticipated you by, you know, 1,300 years. That one day in Tampa, Florida, on Nebraska Avenue, somebody would raise that point. Hey, what's going on here? Right? I thought in Zen, you know, it's all, you know, there's no such thing as a solid self. And what is these different selves talking to each other? Right? You might wonder about that. Well, so, and again, you know, there's lots in this little koan. You know, there's lots we could go into. But I think it's a good wake-up call to us. So then, in this, they're called cases. This case of Zwigan calling himself master is in this collection called the Mumon Kan. And Mumon, which again is a Japanese name for, I forget it, for when, I think. He compiled this collection of 48 little pith interchanges. And then he did a comment. This is his own comment on this dialogue. His comment says, the master, Zwigen, sells and buys himself. He has a lot of puppets of gods and devils that he plays with. Why is this so? With one mask, he asked. And with the another, he answered. With another mask, he said, awake. And another mask said, don't be deceived by us. If you adhere to any of these, you are totally mistaken. If, however, you simply imitate Zwigan, then all these are no other than the fox's disguise. Do you hear what he's saying? So he's commenting on this interchange. And he's saying, well, it's interesting. It seems that Master Zwigan, he's both the seller and the buyer, right? Usually the seller and the buyer are two distinct persons. One person's selling, another person's buying. Here he says he's a seller, he's the one who asks the question, and he's the one who responds, right? It's like, what's going on here, right? He's playing both. It's like, you know, it's like if you had a store or something, and not only did you own the store, but you were the only customer, right? Right? House business, great. I sold everything today. Right? So what's going on? He says he has a lot of... So first of all, he's clear. The seller and the buyer are none other than Zwigan. So it's not as if he has two selves, a master and a servant. The one who asks and the one who answers. Just like us, right? Everybody here talk to themselves? Come on. Everybody, hands up. We all talk to ourselves? Yeah. So it appears like what? There are at least two of us in there, right? And many of us, you know, we go further than that. We have, you know, there's lots of psychology. We have different selves, good self, bad self, wanted self, unwanted self, right? Don't we? We, you know. Inner child, outer child, you know. So we talk as if we have many selves, and we actually have them talk to each other. Anybody been, you know, in that kind of process where you have your different selves talking to each other? Yeah, and we do it all the time, right? Just like Zwigan, right? Wake up. Don't be deceived. I have great hopes for you today. These are your instructions, as if these are different selves. And yet, Mumon says, don't be deceived. And he says, they're like puppets. You know, like hand puppets? Or puppets, you know? There's only one puppeteer, isn't it? But yet, he creates the illusion with dialogue and movement that there are different ones. So he's got a lot of puppets that he plays with, gods and devils. Right? So, he, you know, it's like we have thoughts. We have the capacity to think. We have the past capacity within our mind to create images and talk about masters and servants and good and right, you know.
the self I'd like to be and the self I am, and my wounded self and my healed self and my healing self, and right? So we have the ability to talk like this. But who's the one behind it? You see? Does the puppeteer, does the marionetteer believe that his marionettes are real? Or does he know that he's giving voice and movement to all of them? Do you remember like those, you remember they used to, ventriloquists, right? You remember those? I don't know if they still do those. Used to be on the variety shows, you know, ventriloquists, you know, right? And they'd have dialogue with each other, right? And yet, even though it certainly seemed, what was his name? Yeah, Charlie. What about Charlie? He was the ventriloquist? He was a puppet. Egedberger and Charlie. All right. But it would seem like, you know, and they had a very intimate dialogue. I mean, you'd think they, you know, right? And yet, Edgar Bergen was, you know, he was not real. Except. So he has a lot of puppets. We have a lot of puppets that we play with, right? Good puppets, bad puppets, noble puppets, terrible puppets, light puppets, dark puppets, right? Spiritual puppets, hedonistic puppets. You see what I'm saying? They're all these puppets that we are endlessly playing. But we don't be deceived. You see, he's not deceived. He knows they're all puppets, but he's using them in a good way, right? To help him. Stay awake. Stay on the path. Right? He doesn't not say anything, you see. It's very important, you know. This practice is not about kind of shutting ourselves down or shutting ourselves off, but it's actually using our stuff. Using our stuff, our thoughts, our emotions, our ability to be creative and imaginary, to use our stuff, to use our voice, to use our words, to create wholesomeness and goodness in our life, and to further us along the path of awakening, of non-suffering, right? So, you know, he buys himself, you know, he's a puppeteer. He has all kinds of puppets. Or he is mass, right? I remember when I was in India studying with the Tibetan teachers. Anybody know anything about Tibetan Buddhism? There are all these deities. But have you ever jumped into, you know, Tibetan Buddhism? It's like all these deities. They all look different and all different mudras and this and that. And you know, I was asking a teacher, you know, do you really think they're all like different? And he said, his name was Kempo Palinsher Rinpoche. He said, so I'm here, right? So let's say I put on a costume of this deity and I appear in this room. Then I go change into another costume and come back and appear in another costume. And then I go back and put on another costume and I go appear in another room. And then I go back and put another costume and go appear in another room, all right? I'm still me, he said, still me. I'm just putting on different masks. But I know it's still me. So Mumon says, with one mask he asked, and with the other mask he answered. With another mask he said, awake, and another mask he said, don't be deceived by others. Yeah, so we can be free, right? To use masks appropriately, right? If you've ever been a parent or a teacher, you know, sometimes you put on a very kind, helpful, supportive mask, right? And sometimes you have to put up a wrathful mask, right? Is that true? Right. Why is that?
Because it's for the situation and to be helpful. Right? And sometimes in life, we put on masks for the situation. Right? How we are at home may not be as we are at work. Or, you know, see what I'm saying? We put on different masks. But if you don't know who you are, you're in trouble. Right? If you think your mask is you, you're in trouble. You're being deceived by thinking the mask is real. In the same way, we often think the mask of other people is who they are. Don't be deceived. They're all just masks.
He says, if you adhere to any of these masks, you are totally mistaken.
Okay? We need to discover the real me. Everybody here needs to discover who it is who's putting on these masks. Who is it that's thinking these thoughts? Who am I? And you will never discover that by looking out here. You can only discover it by looking in here.
So he says, if you adhere to any of these masks, you're totally mistaken. If, however, you imitate Zwigun, then all these are no other than the fox. And the fox is kind of, you know, anybody know about a fox? Like in Chinese, they're very clever and sneaky, right? The foxes. Sneak into the hen house. They might even pretend they're a hen, make clucking sounds. You're just like a fox. You know, if we go, all right, now I'm going to get it. Every morning I'm going to wake up, and the first thing I'm going to say to myself is, Fred, don't be deceived today. You see? If I'm just imitating Zwigun, he says, that's not it either. That's not authentic you either. We all have to find our authentic voice. Right? We all have to say the things to ourselves that we need to say to ourselves. Don't. You know, this is what Zwigun had to say to himself. Okay? You know, what does each one of us need to say to ourselves? Let's just stop a second. We have a few minutes. Just close your eyes. So, if we weren't going to imitate Zwigun, but we were going to, you know, learn what we've learned today from this koan, what is it that we need to say out loud to ourselves every morning? Now, we may not be as open as Zwigun to say it out loud on a rock for all to hear. You might just need to say it in the privacy of your own mind. If you wanted to keep yourself from being deceived as you go through the day by your own thoughts, by your own conditioning, by what's going on outside, supposedly, what very simply do you need to say to yourself to be helpful? Spend a few moments just introspecting, like the first thing that comes into your head, but think about your true aspiration in life. Reflect on your current condition in life. And what is it that would be helpful to say to yourself every morning? Trying to change, trying to move our life in a new direction, different direction. What is helpful?
and practice saying it to yourself. And does it, when you say it, does it really resonate deeply and really kind of wake you up and clarify yourself to your true purpose, your true aspiration? And does it, is it helpful and simple enough that it will keep you on track? But you can say it throughout the day to yourself, just to remind yourself. Always remembering that the one who speaks and the one who listens are really the same. Just two hand puppets. And they're both your hands. We need to get over this division we have within ourselves and to feel whole. Be in deep relationship with ourselves. We'll try it out, see if it works. Can you imagine? Whatever it is you come up with, can you imagine speaking this way during the day? Just to help you stay on track. So then Mumon ends with a poem. First he does his comment, and then traditionally he would do a four-line poem. And the poem reads, "Some who search the way of Zen do not realize true self, for they recognize only the ego. This ego self is the seed of birth and death. Foolish people take it for their true original self." So he's giving a great caution to us. That, at least in the path of Zen, we want to get beyond the constrictions of this self, this ego, that has very clear definitions and characteristics and opinions and likes and dislikes and history, you know what I mean? That construction that we call ourself, or we call me, or we give a name to. This is not our true self. This is our constructed self. What constructed it? Causes and conditions. All the historical forces that we have lived with, interacted with, created our life with. It's like, you know, that, it's like, you know, building blocks or something. You know, it's like, you know, we've been given a set, you see, and we've been endlessly building little things throughout our life with our block set. And oftentimes, you know, we take them apart and build other things, right? And we don't understand that this, all this creation we've been doing is only with this little set of blocks that we think is all the possibilities. No. You know, here's another set over here. You only have 100 blocks. This one has 1,000 blocks. Wow. I never thought. I thought that this might, everything is like you got to build your life with these 100 blocks. Or here is a totally different set. These are Legos. I thought they were wooden, you know, well, Legos. This is an advance, you know. Right? Our constricted, constructed self that we so identify with is not our true self. How do we take away the masks? Right? How do we remove the veil so we can actually see and know who and what we really are? In Buddhist tradition, that's meditation. That's really what meditation is about. First, we have to still and quiet and calm the mind, quiet down, some clarity. And then we turn and we look directly into it, into this mind of ours. Right? All our thoughts, all our feelings, all our perceptions, all our stories are all being generated by what? All our memories, by our mind. There's nowhere else we have to look. Many people think they got to go here and there and see this teacher and that teacher and read this text and that text. No. We need to turn and look directly into our mind if we want to discover who and what we are. Right? Remember Dorothy? You all remember Dorothy. Dorothy thought that big wizard, that face. Remember him? Big, powerful, scary, demanding, telling her to do this and that. Right? When she thought the wizard in that shape was the wizard and real, she was always what? Under his control. But when the veil was pulled back, remember? Little Toto, the little dog, remember, it pulled it back. And all of a sudden, Dorothy realized what? There was no great and terrible Oz. It was just this pathetic little man. Right? Clouds and mirrors. We need to pull the veil back to see who and what we really are, and to see the very narrow pettiness of self, and to see that it's nothing we need to even worry about or be concerned about when we know who and what we really are. And then we can put on the mask and take off the mask. We can be this kind of self and that kind of self, as needed. Any questions? We have a family program, and I guess the kids are coming in. Any questions about anything that was said? Yes, in the back.
I just want to make a correlation of what you were talking about. I remember when I came out as saying to myself, looking in the mirror, and I remember saying, Mauricio, you're a homosexual. You're a homosexual. So that was a way of taking that veil and going, that's who I am. I'm that same person that I saw in pictures of other people, but actually I'm looking at that same person.
Right. And I think what this is also saying, Mauricio, right, that we have various ways we show up in this life, sexual orientations. But see, the question I'd ask you is, who is that one looking in the mirror and saying, homosexuals, there's something that's bigger than that. Because you are something more than gender and sexual orientation. And that's what we want to know, you know? Yes, in the world of mask, this is the mask. Now I'm acknowledging this is my mask, you know? But our true self is beyond all masks. That's why it's so wonderful. Yeah. Are there any other questions? which means everything is clear, or means you're totally confused, or... So I think the kids are coming in soon. I don't hear them. So again, this is case number 12 in the Mumong Khan. Zwigan calls himself masters. It's very short and pithy, and I hope this has been helpful.